Church this morning. I just want to share one thing. God reminded me this weekend of two things. First thing is that don't forget, Dusty Tackle, that you have full access to me. Full access. And the other thing is, don't forget is that I'm always running towards you. So not only do we have full access to him all the time, but he's always running. And it reminded me, there's never a need to fear. There's never a need to worry. There's never a need to feel like, to wonder where he is, because he's always here. And I just, this morning, Lauren and I were talking, we're just pouring out of gratitude. Pouring out of gratitude. And what a joy it is to be here and to celebrate and to be thankful that there's full access. And you know, you never know with that full access, with his presence always here, with who he is always within us, around us, wrapping us, feeling us. You never know what can happen in a moment. You never know whatever it is that you're needing, whatever, whether it's a miracle or a revelation or an awareness, what can happen in a moment. And so I'm thankful for his presence and the ability that anything can happen in a moment. So let's celebrate, and we welcome you.
How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and the way that you've come, for all that you've done and all that you'll do? My heart pours out, thank you. You don't have to come.
Starlight in the dark, endless miles can conceal you, and every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break through. Oh, you're not far. Coming close. bright starlight in the dark. And their smiles can conceal you. And every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break through.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of the sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?
Jesus.
that the truth of what we are singing in celebration of you this morning and what you've done for us does not ever, ever, ever fade. It gets bigger and more true for us and helps us to expand. So as we're singing this morning, you are wonderful. You are like the starlight. I'm standing knee deep, but I'm out where I've never been. We sang that 2 years ago. We sang that 1 year ago. But it doesn't stop being true for us today in this walk with you. And how beautiful it is to not have to worry and to not have to fear. I love your presence. I love your truth. I love that the hope that you give to us as we are walking on this earth, that we can have heaven here. And wherever we are today, your arms are always open. The altar is always open. So we come today. We surrender whatever it is. Whatever wall is hindering us, whatever chain may be unbroken, God, you have the power. If we would just say, I'm done with the worry, I'm done with the fear, and today, whatever happens, I know it's because you allowed it to bring me closer to you. I know that it's because you allowed it to become more thankful and more grateful of your presence and your protection and your security. And I am so grateful that I get to just walk in that. Thank you, Father. Keep taking us deeper. We want more and more and more and more of you. We don't want this to end. The deeper we get, the closer we are to you, the more we become like you, and that makes whatever path we are walking makes us unstoppable. Thank you for the confidence that you give. God, we praise you this morning. We celebrate the life that you've given us that is so big and beautiful. Our lives are wide open before us and the hope that you give to us. So we mean these words when we say it, and I could not of any other lyric to just sing and praise this morning. So we release whatever it is. We breathe you in, we breathe you out. We breathe you in and we breathe you out until we believe every word. Beyond belief, until we know it. Until we know it. I know it this morning. And I can
didn't see you.
You may be, there we go. Hopefully you got your connection card as you came through. It was inside your bulletin. Want each and every person to fill that out. Lots of places to volunteer and to get plugged in and get involved. And if you're visiting with us for the first time, there is one of these out on the counter for you. Just a letter in there from Pastor Buren thanking you for being here this morning. So I want you to grab that as you're leaving. The offering bucket will come by, and that's where you put your connection card at the end of the service. Thank you.
Good morning. That was good stuff, wasn't it? I love them songs. I love the words. They're so much deeper and richer than they were years ago. We used to sing choruses like said the same thing over and over and over and over again. And they were okay, but I like it when it kind of stretches out there. Anyway, we're going to dedicate some babies this morning, so this whole crew will be coming. This is only the second time I've ever dedicated twins. I was going to really impress you this morning, lift them both up at the same time, but the balance in that I thought might get a little scary. Who all is coming? I know Grandmama's coming. And my Grandmama's coming. Everybody's coming. Lord, I want to, before we do this, give you a word that while I was in praise and worship, the Lord reminded me of a few years ago when there was a lot of anxiety going on in you and you just fretted about some things. The Lord just wants you to know He gave you twins to let you know how strong you are. You're a strong, strong lady. I love this passage of scripture, but I get to read it today in a little different way. He says, we can never escape your spirit. We can never get away from your presence. If we go to heaven, you are there. If we go to the grave, you are there. If we ride the wings of the morning or dwell in the farthest oceans, even your hand will guide us. Your strength will support us. I could ask darkness to hide me, and the light around me became night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. You made us in all our delicate inner parts of our body and knit us together in our mother's womb. Thank you for making us so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You saw us before we were born, and every day of our lives were recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about us, O God. They cannot be numbered. Can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when we wake up, we're still with you. Now, which one are you?
This is Harper.
Harper, you can tell God sometimes, say, God, you thought so much of me, you made two of me. Yeah. And Harper, it means a minstrel. You're going to be someone brings peace to people. And what's the second name?
Harper Lee.
Lee. And Lee means something, pastor. So we lift you up to the Lord. We dedicate you and consecrate you. You are so, so very, very special to Him. And I'd like to just give him just a dab at this. This is a special concoction I do. I don't just do it. I make sure the water's just right, temperature's just right. I take time and make sure. Now, which one is this one? Abigail. Dawn. Abigail means God rejoices and my Father rejoices. And dawn means daybreak and daylight. And that's what you're going to bring to this world. You're going to bring daylight and you're going to bring joy to wherever you go. And we consecrate you and lift you up to the Lord and give you to Him. And He gives us you right back to us and to your mom and dad especially to raise in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Yeah, you ought to get a t-shirt that says, God loved us, me so much, He made two of me. Just have a t-shirt. Now that is a sanctified pacifier right there, buddy. That's a special pacifier. God bless you. You too. All right. I was thinking this morning as time is slipping by. Can you believe July 4th is this week? Mike Oliver, when he was here, he would tell me every year. He said, Buren, if you can just hold out till the 1st of September, college football comes in. And when college football comes in, all is well the rest of the year. Nobody has problems. Nobody has heart. I mean, it's just the rest of the year is going to be fine. And I got to thinking, not only is college football real close, Garth Brooks is going to be in Atlanta in October. I mean, it just can't get much better than that. Just a few months. If you've never been to a Garth Brooks concert, you've missed out because it's a spiritual experience. I mean, I go to get inspired. You wait till I come back from a Garth Brooks concert and watch me preach. I am inspired. All of his songs are uplifting, encouraging. Well, there's one, Mama's in the Graveyard, Papa's in the Pen. That's a little dark. But the rest of them are pretty uplifting, encouraging. I got a Father's Day present. I get to go to Oklahoma in a couple of weeks to see him in Oklahoma City, where it all began. Back when the old stuff was new. Yeah. Y'all aren't encouraged. Come on. That's some of the best preaching I've done in a while. At least give me a little. Way to go, Buren. Way to go. You know, they were trying to get me. Barbara's on the computer and Dusty's on the computer trying to get me tickets for, you know, October. And they weren't doing it. They couldn't get through. I told Barbara, I said, give me that laptop. She handed me that laptop. And, man, I said, here's my seat right here. Get me this ticket right there. Just like that, I had a ticket for October. She said, you going by yourself? I said, if I have to. If I have to, I'm going by myself. Whatever I have to do. Right? And I said all that. You said, what does that have to do with this message? You're going to see. You can do what you want to do. You can accomplish what you want to accomplish. You can become what you want to be. You just have to do something to get there. You know, we've been talking about this whole year is the banquet table. And we're talking about the Father's blessings at the table this month. And blessings is something that we all want. How many would rather be blessed than cursed? Now, cursed doesn't mean you got this horrible cloud over your head. It's real simple. Blessing means you're blessed, you're prosperous, you're happy. Curse means you're not. I mean, it's just that simple. And Moses said, God through Moses said, I set before you blessings and curses. You choose. You choose which one you want. You want blessings, you want curses. And Jacob started blessing his sons, and he told Reuben, said, Reuben, you're blessed, but you got to understand you got some problems. You're unstable as water. You got to get your passions under control. Your passions are okay, but they got to be directed in the right way. How many know that? God gives you passions, but the passions have got to be channeled in the right way. He said, Reuben, you got passion, but you need to channel it right. Don't let it get out of control in your life. And then he started blessing Simeon and Levi. And he said, Simeon and Levi, you're blessed and you're going to have Father's blessings, but you got some issues. You got some anger issues. I know nobody here has got any anger issues. Said, but you got anger issues. Simeon never overcame his. Levi did. Levi became the priesthood of the 12 tribes of Israel because he overcame his anger. The Simeon in the New Testament, which was Simon Peter, he had an anger problem. You don't cut off a man's ear and not have an anger problem. When they come to get Jesus, he pulled out a sword and whacked the guy's ear off. You don't do that without a problem. You got an anger issue. And he always found himself speaking when he should have been listening. And so he says to Simeon, if you want to overcome your anger issue, be slow to speak and swift to hear. Stop speaking so much and start listening more. Levi means to adhere. Don't just hear the word, Levi. Do the word. And that's really what we're going to talk about this morning more than anything, is how we become doers of the word. And let me back up. To bless, this is what it means, to invoke good upon, to call forth the action of God, to confer God's good on something or someone. We have that responsibility, Joy, you talked about it last week, to confer blessings on our children, to speak good things, not just say no, no, no all the time. Let them hear yes, yes, yes sometimes. Actually, they should hear yes most of the time. I would tell you a story, but I won't. But in Matthew 8, I was sitting there when Joy was talking last week, and God just kept, this word just kept pounding in me. He said, your words are stout. Your words are stout. Your words are stout. What you say is stout. What you say has meaning, has power, not just to me, but to all of us. And in Matthew chapter 8, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. Would you do something for me this morning? Will you agree with me this morning that we'll send the word to Michael, and that we'll send the word of healing from right here, from where we are, to him? Could you do that with me? Could we just do that in prayer? Could we just do that in faith? Can we just do that in honor of a family of God? Can we just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed? Can we just do that? I know this, he says, because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I want to preach here for a moment, but I won't. If you have authority, because you're under authority. Anyway, I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles, many of you, many of me, many of the United States of America, many of all the different countries of the world, many from every nation that there is, shall come to this table and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and feast in the kingdom of heaven. That good? Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that you are an Israelite indeed? You thought you were American, didn't you? You're not an American. You are an Israelite indeed. He that is born of the Spirit is a true Israelite, a true child of God, a true chosen, peculiar person of God, a true son and daughter of God, a true inheritor of all the blessings from Genesis to Revelation. Wow. We're that. We're sitting and feasting at his table. But if you don't believe that, he says, then you can be thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can either feast at the table or be out here in the dark. You can either be in the light or be in the dark. Jesus said to the officer, go back home. Because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that very same hour. You know, Joy was preaching last week, and I love what you said about Paul and Silas in prison. They weren't praising God to get out of jail. They were praising God because they were praisers. Had nothing to do with getting out of jail, because, as a matter of fact, when the jail doors opened, they didn't go anywhere. Had they been praising God for deliverance, they would have walked out. They didn't walk out. Why were they giving God thanks? Because that's what you do. That's what you do. If you're a child of God, you're a praiser of God, you're a worshiper of God because of who he is, for no other reason. Not for what he can give me, not for the benefits that come from it, simply because that's what we do. We praise him. We worship him. And they started singing hymns. And I believe it had to be hymns of just thanksgiving and praise to God. Not to get out of prison, but because they were worshipers of God. They just wanted to praise and worship God. In a jail, we urinated all over the ground. Sorry to be so graphic, but that's where they were. They were not in a hotel. They didn't have TV. They didn't have a toilet in there. It was a nasty, God-forbidden place. Sometimes we can't even worship God in an air-conditioned building. Yet they're in these horrible circumstances, horrible situation. One of them probably started singing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Oh, about that time, something started shaking, and some chains started coming off, and some stocks started falling off. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." And about that time, doors swing open. And soldiers get scared. And Paul says, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." We didn't worship him to get out. We worshiped him to get in. Nelson Mandela spent all those years in prison. They put him in a solitary confinement every single night. And the soldier looked at him one day, the guard put him in the prison cell and told Nelson Mandela, said, "Man, I hate doing this to you. I hate putting you in this cell every night." And Nelson Mandela looked at him and said, "Don't ever fret about that anymore. The moment you leave, I'm out of here. Because I don't stay here. My mind goes outside these four walls. And I see myself walking in freedom. I see myself out there, not in here. You come on, help me preach. You see yourself wherever you want to see yourself." And he said, "I'm not going to see myself in prison. I'm going to see myself out there." And he kept seeing himself out there until 27, 28, 29 years later, he was outside. He was outside. Why? Because he used his imagination to go far beyond the four walls that he was trapped in. Saw himself further out than that. Didn't see himself where he is, see himself where he's going. That's why you praise and you worship God. Not to get out, but to get in. To get into his presence, to get into his being, to get into what you need to get into. Amen. Can I sing one more song to you? I'm going to make this one up. But I'm going to use some scriptures to make it up. I believe while they was in that prison cell, in all that horrible circumstance and situation, after they sang, my hope is built on nothing less, I think they started singing something like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over." Why? I'm going to get to that in a minute, why anoint your head with oil so your cup can run over and somebody else can get blessed. The reason he blesses you is not to bless you. He blesses you to be a blessing. He blesses you to be a blessing. And when you stop up the flow, you stop being blessed. He blesses you not to bless you. He blesses you to bless others. Paul and Silas didn't praise the when the stocks fell off, they fell off them and them. All the prisoner stocks fell off too. See, when you praise and worship God, it's not just you being delivered. Somebody else is being delivered. Man, I've been in a worship service where I saw somebody worshiping God, and it so blessed me, I got free. Because of their worships, something broke loose in me. You don't ever know what's going to happen to somebody else when you give God praise. Well, let's get to the message. That's my introduction. Genesis 49, he blesses two more sons. He says this, he says, Zebulun will settle by the seashore, will be a harbor for ships. His borders will extend to Sidon. Issachar is a sturdy donkey. How would you like that blessing? Old King James said, Jacob looked at Issachar and said, Issachar, you're a wild ass. That's what old King James says. You're resting between two saddle packs. When he sees how good the countryside is, how pleasant the land, he will bend his shoulder to the load and submit himself to hard labor. Wow. Let's preach. Zebulun, you're a peaceful shore. Zebulun, the ships that are out at sea, and when they're going through their storms and difficulties, they're going to come into your safe harbor, and they're going to put their anchor down, and they're going to have peace in your harbor because you are a peaceful person. Hallelujah. I've missed your amens, Penny. I'm glad you're here. You are going to be a haven. And there was another city called Ephesus. You know what Ephesus was? It was a haven by the sea. And in Revelation chapter 2, it says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the golden lampstands. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work, your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they're apostles and are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back and do your first works as you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand in its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds just as I do. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everybody who overcomes, I'm going to give to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Ephesus was a haven. Ephesus was a river called Caistor. And this river flowed into the bay area, and sand and pebbles started filling it in. And they would go out from time to time every few years, and they would have to dredge out all of that sand and pebbles and sediment, and they would dig it out so that they could still be by the seashore. You with me? But over the years, they stopped dredging it, and it ended up Ephesus is no longer by the seashore. Ephesus is no longer a haven for the ships. They're 6 miles from the sea because of the sediment. What are you saying, Buren? You better keep your love channel open. You don't lose your love, you leave it. Ooh. You don't leave your love. I mean, you don't lose your love, you leave it. It says you left your first love. Now I'm about to say something that's going to sting. Y'all ready? Hey, say that. This is going to sting, folks. So get ready. There's a wasp coming right at you. Bam! It's about to sting you right on your forehead. It's going to get you, but it's coming after you all. You ready? This is not about victory or defeat. Your life is not about victory or defeat every day. Your life is about victory or treason. Told you it's going to sting. Boy, that stings me. I don't know about you. That sting, I'd rather say I got defeated than I walked away. Saying to Ephesus, this is not about victory and defeat. This is about treason. Paul said one time, Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world more than us. It's treason. If you'll start looking at your life with God, not in victory and defeat, but am I going to be victorious or am I going to go AWOL? Okay. Ephesians 6, I love this scripture. He ends it and he says, peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. And may the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you love with, say it with me. Not just love, but with faithfulness, with loyalty, with loyalty. Issachar, you're going to bear burdens. See a donkey today, they cut pretty much, you go by and you, I don't know about you, I love looking at donkeys. I just laugh every time I see one. I can't help it. I go by a pasture and I look at a donkey. I can't help but laugh. They just funny looking animals to me. And but a donkey then was not laughed about. They were a beast of burden. I was down at the farm, Leif, a few years ago, and there's two big old mules out there. And this guy who worked the farm came up and started telling me the history of the mules. And by the time he got through, man, I love mules. He said, this country was built by mules. He said, mules built this country. He said, everything you see now came out of them. Hadn't it been for that beast of burden, you wouldn't have what you have today. Those mules built this country. And that's what we're to be. A burden bearers. You're called to be a beast of burden. You're called to bear one another's burdens. You do know that? Kidding, you be coming because we're fixing to have fun. Mark Twain said, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. Day you were born, the day you find out why. You know, there's some people today know the day they were born. They still don't have a clue why they were born. As a matter of fact, you'll hear them say at 15, I don't know why I'm even here. That's sad, folks. That is a sad commentary. I don't know why I'm here. I love the rest of it. The day you plant your feet into this world and the day you find out why you should be using them to walk and maybe walk far, there are two, these are two of the four milestones of your life. Day you were born, day you find out why. They are the most important of four because the others can't happen without them. And every day in between is just about learning and building yourself up to these. The other two milestones are further down. The third milestone is the day you accomplish why you were born. Day you were born, milestone. Day you find out why, second milestone. The day you start to accomplish it in the way you should, third milestone. And the fourth milestone is when you help someone else find theirs. When you help somebody else find theirs. Degrees and diplomas are not to hang on walls. They're to be acted upon. David wouldn't be much of a doctor if he just walked around with his pigskin in his hand. Say, look what I am. Until he takes that and gets in that office and starts helping people get well, it really don't matter what's on that pigskin. Because that's not what it was about. That's not what it was about. You didn't get to be an ophthalmologist to have a pigskin in your hand and say, look what I accomplished. You got it so you can look in somebody's eyeballs and help them find their sight. Help them keep what they probably treasure more than anything else in their life. You were called to bear people's burdens. You were called to live out your purpose here on life so that you can help other people live out their purpose on life. Jet said to Dusty the other day, he's 7 years old. He said, Mama, I know why I was born. I love it. 7 years old. I know 70-year-old people don't know why they were born yet. Now, whether or not he's born for this or not, I don't know. We'll see. I know why I was born. Jet, why were you born? What were you born for? To become an astronaut and go into space. And I'm going to the moon and I'm going to bring you back a rock. I know I will. Don't be surprised about 20 years from now. They say Jet Tackle's about to blast off for the moon and bring his mama back a rock. And you invest in them Legos. When you buy them, are you not spoiling him when you do that? You're investing in his life. She just bought him this big old Lego box full of, I mean, you've seen, listen, that box is deceptive. It is. It's very deceptive because you look on the outside of that big old box, it's got this big, beautiful spaceship or something. You open it up, it ain't there. I've seen it ain't there when you open it up. What's on that box ain't in there. Its package is numbered. 1, 2, 3, and you start with number 1 and you put it together. And you go to number 2. I could never do it because my ADD would kick in. I'd start at number 6. I could never get it built starting with number 1. I couldn't do it. I took John Jet to get him some Lego a few months ago and went to Walmart or Marketing Geniuses. They have their Legos. And up here at Adult Site are the cheap ones. This is where $19.99 Lego set. It's where you look. But not where he looks. He's down here. And he's going, Gaga, I want this one. I get down. That one's $99. This one's $19.99. Yeah, but Gaga, they're geniuses. But I decided, you know what? I'm going to buy that one for him. I ain't spoiling him. I'm investing in him. And that boy, take that. He will build it to perfection. You got to start somewhere. And you got to take them little pieces. And you got to put them together. And when you get through, what's on the outside of the box is what's on the inside of the box. See what's inside of you. I'm preaching right now. What's inside of you may just be a bunch of Lego pieces. It don't look like you want it to look right yet. Your life doesn't look like you want it to look right yet. But if you just keep on keeping on, eventually, what's on the inside is going to be what's on the outside. Or what's on the outside is going to be what's on the inside. Or what's on the inside is going to be what's on the outside. In other words, you're going to be both inside and out. Come on. Whew. I told you last week, James almost didn't make it into the canon of Scripture. Y'all remember me telling you that? Two of you do, okay. I'll tell you again, James almost didn't make it into the canon of Scripture. And the reason he didn't, because they read the James, and he was a half-brother of Jesus, and the Bible says in John chapter 7, none of his brothers believed in him until after the resurrection. That'll kind of get you. It's sort of like me telling Eddie, I'm Jesus. Yep. Yeah, sure you are. But if I died and came back to life, he'd go, yeah, I guess you are. Anyway, James says stuff that Paul didn't say. And so the fathers said, this looks like it's contradictory. Paul says you're justified by faith. James said, nah. You're justified by faith and works. But you read the book of Romans and you scratch your head and you go, man, that just don't make sense. But then I got to kind of reading about James, what he had to say. Let me share it with you. Sure. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Oh, I love Christianity. I'm praying for you, brother. I don't need your prayer. I need your food. Anyway. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I'll show you my faith by my good works. You say you have faith, for you believe and there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. He says, the third of angels who rebelled against heaven, they believe. They believe, and they even tremble. I would too. How foolish. Can't you see faith without works is dead and is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered up Isaac his son? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called a friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rabbi the prostitute, Rahab the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away on a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so faith is dead without good works. Oh, I believe in going to church. Yeah, not here. I believe in this. How many believe that exercise really helps? How many believe that? How many do it? Oh, I believe in it. I believe in it. I just don't do it. So guess what? Does me no good. You know how much my faith in that helps me? You know how much? I believe in eating right. If I don't do it, it doesn't help me. Are we getting it? Faith without works is dead. You tell me what all you believe. Your theology, let me tell you what. Knowing does. Knowing the word produces judgmentalism, and that's all it produces. Doing the word produces fruit. Not knowing is doing it. I don't have a pigskin on my wall, but I got a calfskin Bible. And God gave me that calfskin Bible not to beat you up with, and not to condemn you with, but to build you up. I was born. I know what I was born for. I was born to preach the kingdom. I was born to tell you how wonderful you are and how much God loves you. I was born to do that. And my calfskin Bible tells me to do that. And I can be condemned the rest of my life. I'm still condemned and criticized because I preach such a message of grace and hope and love, but I'll do it to the day I die. I won't apologize for it one iota. I walk out of funeral homes, and after funerals, it's been said to me more than one time, you just preached them right into heaven, didn't you? I said, sure did. That's what I do. That's what I do. That's what I do. That's what I was called to do. Faith without works is dead. When we have a deep emotion or feeling and we don't act upon it, it diminishes us. When we act upon it, it replenishes us. You know what happens when I'm not studying and I'm not giving it my all? You know what happens when I'm not putting works with my faith in the Bible? You know what happens when I stop putting works with preparing messages? You know what happens? I start being diminished. I had this word done Tuesday, I think it was. And yesterday, I didn't feel good yesterday. Just didn't feel real good. And I was just, stomach didn't feel good. I just didn't feel good. I didn't feel like sitting at the table and opening up and reading it. I was done with it. Had this thing prepared Tuesday. But I decided I'd go with my hurt, pain, and I sat down. In about 5 minutes, telling you the truth, stomach got feeling better. Spirit got lifted. I started preaching this message in my house, and nobody was there but me and God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That was enough. And the more I preached it, the more I guess got replenished and replenished. And all of a sudden, whoo, I was feeling good. You see, the kingdom's upside down. Until you understand that. Learned this years ago. Remember that, Keith? The kingdom of God's upside down. Kingdom of the world, to get, you hoard up. Kingdom of God, to get, you give. The world, you live. The kingdom, you die to live. It's just the opposite, isn't it? Crazy, crazy kingdom. The flesh says what we do wears us out. The kingdom, the spirit says what we do empowers us to do more. You see, the works that James talks about don't deplete you. They replete you. Is that a word? It is now. What James is saying, these works of the Spirit and of faith, they won't wear you out. They won't deplenish you. They will replenish you. They will energize you. You ever got up on a Sunday morning and you believed going to church was good? I mean, everybody's at home this morning. If I ask them, do you believe going to church would be good? Sure. While they eat their bacon and eggs. We get here, no bacon, no eggs. I don't know where I'm going with this, somewhere. But how many has ever done this? You got up on Sunday morning and you didn't want to go. You can say yes, it's okay. Because if you don't say yes, you're lying and truth's not in you. I used to get up and tell Barbara, I can't go today. She said, you got to. You're the pastor. You got to go. You got to go. But how many has ever got up, didn't feel like it, but once you got there, once it was all over, you walked out with a spring in your step and a replenished spirit. When you thought it would deplete you, it didn't. It actually filled you. Didn't feel like it. It's not about that. I want to encourage you to do. You are a peaceful haven, a shoreline for the troubled souls of the sea to come to your harbor and find peace. You are a donkey to bear the burdens of other people. To be able to say, put it on me, I'll carry it for you. That is what we're called to do. That, if you don't know, maybe you're not called to be an astronaut and go to the moon. But I can tell you what you're called to do. You're called to reach over and take a brother by the hand, a sister by the hand, or look somebody for eyeball to eyeball and say, God bless you, he loves you, I love you, be kind to people, be nice to people, treat people the way you want to be treated. You're called to do that. So don't ever doubt your calling anymore. That's what you're called to do. Y'all got this yet? That's what you're called to do. Don't. I ain't got, I'm telling you what you're called to do in case you don't know. Y'all, I want to make sure you got this. All right, won't you repeat, won't you repeat after me? This is what I'm called to do. Be nice, be kind, be tolerant, be forgiving, be loving, be encouraging, build people up, help people out, give to the poor, give to the preacher. Almost got you. Almost. Stand. Father, help us to see. As you said to every church in the book of Revelation, to him that overcometh, you'll give to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcomes, you would make a pillar in the temple of God. To him that overcome, you'd give him a brand new name. And on that name, written a name that only he knows. Thank you that you said that you would write upon us a new name. That you would give us a new nature. That you'd give us a new beginning. That if we would just put our hands to the plow and not look back, but we would move forward in knowing that we take our faith not just to believe with, but to work with. That faith without works truly is dead, useless, no good. But combined together, they become the most powerful force in the world. It saves people. It builds people up. It encourages people. And we don't look and see the hurting and say goodbye. Be of good cheer. God bless you. But rather we stop in our tracks and we help out. That's what we're called to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. So elders are coming, receive communion. Let it be a moment, if you will, of reflection and time as you come and get these elements, that you will do what the writer of Hebrews said this: consider him, Christ, who suffered such contradiction of sinners, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of your faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Don't lose hope. Don't grow weary in what you're doing. You keep on doing it because there's a joy that's set before you. There's a joy that's set before you. It may be a cross today, but it's joy tomorrow. It may be a burden today, but it's not tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. Should be on. Tell you what I'm concerned about in our nation. Tell you what I'm concerned about in the Christian world. Is that it has veered away from what we ought to be doing and just focused on what we ought to be believing and knowing and losing the real purpose of what Christianity is all about. The Buddhist have a better grip on serving and loving people and being kind to people than the Christian people have, and they shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be that way. Adam Thurston was in Japan a couple of years ago, and he got out of a taxi cab and he left his billfold in the taxi cab. Taxi cab takes off. Adam starts, of course, running, yelling for the cab driver. He happened to see him, and he stopped and opened the door. And, of course, the cab driver realized what he was doing. He grabbed his billfold. The cab driver looked at him, and he said this. He said, "Had you not caught me, nobody would have touched that billfold. I could have gotten 50 other stops and nobody would have stolen that billfold." That's what they believe. That's, they put works with their faith. We need to start putting some shoe leather with our faith. We need to start doing what we believe. Doing it, not just believing it. Thank God you believe it. Thank God. But it's the step. It's the first step toward becoming it. It was, the Bible says about Jesus. John said the Word became flesh. And one of my greatest statements to you in the last year or 2 years has been this. This is not the destiny of the Word of God. This isn't the destiny. Between calf skins and paper, this is not the destiny of the Word of God. The destiny of the Word of God is this becomes this, and this becomes this, and I walk it out. Destiny of the Bible, the destiny of the Word of God is not to know it, it's to live it. It's to walk it out. I can sit and quote scripture, and I can impress you with my memorization of scripture, and I could just quote scripture to you all day long. But you know what? If I don't walk it out, it don't mean a hill of beans. Not a thing. You think God's impressed with me quoting scripture? He is scripture. You think Jesus is impressed with me preaching the Word? He is the Word. I can just see Jesus now. Man, ain't beer and doing good today. But I'll tell you, when he does say that, when I leave from here this morning, he's not going to walk up to the Father and say, "Beeron did a good job preaching today, didn't he? Man, boy, But by Tuesday or Wednesday, what I want to hear Jesus say is not what he did Sunday morning. I want to hear Jesus go over to the Father and say, you see him? You see what he's doing? You see what he just did? Did you see how he just forgave her? Did you see how he just walked in peace? Did you see what he said to that? Did you see what he did to that person who needed him? Did you see that? That's what he's impressed with. Amen. Whew. I worked today, but I feel good. I'm not depleted, I'm repleted. If that's not a word, it will be in the future. This body was broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. This is the blood of the new covenant. As I've done it unto you, do it unto one another.
You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and connection cards, you can be getting those ready. I know many of you give online and don't actually drop a check into the offering bucket. That is just fine. It works just the same. Make sure in your bulletin a lot of important information. One of those things is that there will not be a first Wednesday night service this week. It is in remembrance of the holidays. There will be no service. So I don't want you showing up for that. But what will be happening, which is very exciting, is the youth band will be in here practicing Wednesday evening because the youth band will be leading us in worship next Sunday morning. So we want to make sure that everybody is here to support them. They then, after service that day, leave. They have lunch in the youth building. And then they leave for summer camp. And so they will be gone for 3 days with that. And so a lot of great things will be taking place. So make sure and tell everybody. We will try to social media that the youth band will be playing Sunday. And it will be their first time on in-ear monitors. Matter of fact, it may be the first time that they are hearing this right now that they're going to be using in-ear monitors. So it will be interesting. That's why they're rehearsing. So we're excited for those things. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring our tithes, our offerings, our alms to you, our first fruits, our gifts, our talents. Lord, that you will take those and you will use them for the furtherment of the kingdom of God, the doing of your word. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. If you would, let's stand and we'll end in worship.
Starlight in the dark, endless miles can't conceal you, and every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you breathe.